Hola, howdy, hello. So, greetings folks, this is Saranya Narayanamurthy and welcome to The Mind Business. Today, I'm going to do you a favor and I'm going to help you to stop crippling someone with your words or to rejuvenate from being crippled. Now, if you ask me, you don't belong in the either, I would say, well, stick to the end, and if you do not belong, I'm really happy for you. But before we get started, I want to start by telling you this. There are just two languages in the world, fear and love. One that traumatizes and the other that heals it. And trust me, over the period of 4 years, we have witnessed both of these in our life. But we failed to clearly anticipate which of the activities had what effect on our life and which one has a higher restriction on our ability to be us. Okay, a point to be noted. I didn't mention the ability to perform, the ability to succeed, or the ability to do monumental things in life. You know, all of these comes much later. I am speaking about the basic ability, the ability to function as a human and lead a very normal life. Okay, now, if normalcy doesn't excite you, let me also tell you this. Almost 35% of us are leading a normal life. Yes, just 35. And the remaining 65% are somehow ruled by an impact of the fear that they do not recognize as fear. Now, what I would recommend you to do is stick up till the end and ask yourself, if you are in the minor 35%, which is great, or are you in the major 65%, which means you still can change. Okay, shall we go ahead? Great. So when you were born, you were a human being with neutral emotions. And that was the only time when you have neutral emotions in your whole life. But shortly, within seconds of your birth, you tend to absorb the energy around you unintentionally. So from then, your receptors either make you comfortable or uncomfortable with your surroundings, people, the way you are held, so on and so forth. Now, okay, you might not be able to recollect this, but visualize this. What were the voices you heard in the hospital? Were they like, oh, a girl child? Who would even want a girl child? I don't even want to lift her. Why is the baby so dark? He looks weak, doesn't he? See, this is why I told the mother to eat well. She never listens to me. See the face. It's just like the mother. Could have been like a father. Would have been much better. Da, look at the guy. He's just like the father. The mom has got beautiful features. Why can't she inherit it from her? Let that sink in. Or, let's listen to the other version. Oh, such a beautiful child. Darling, you must be so tired. I'll take care of the baby. Please have a good sleep. Wow, I love you both. I'm so glad that I have you. I'm so grateful to have you both. Wow, what a beautiful baby. Come on. I'll lift you. How sweet you are, darling. I love you. And the difference? In both of these cases, if you see, the comments were addressed not just to the baby, but to the mother. And this affects the mental and the emotional states of the mother, along with having a vibrational effect on the child. And the result? Well, you're familiar that if a human being is not so happy, if he's sad, a dog recognizes the emotions and actually tries to soothe you, right? Well, the baby feels it too. But since the baby has neutral emotions at this moment, it wouldn't try to comfort the mother. But all of these emotions are deeply absorbed into the baby's mind. And following this incident, more than 70% of the subconscious wiring happens before you're 7 years old. So let's say the way they treat you in the house, the words you hear, more than the words, the confrontation you face, the emotions you face, the way you're treated, what you deal with, forms the basis of what you actually think about yourself. So let's say you were brought up listening to people, or you were brought up with commands from people who say, hey, no, you should not do that. It's not good for you. It's dangerous. How can you do that? You should listen to me first. This is wrong. You are bad. See, only listen to me, okay? You're not going to listen to anyone else. Your mom doesn't know a thing. How would she know what to do? You should have come to me. I'm your dad. You're the only person you... I'm your dad. I'm the only person you should listen to. Got it? Now, if you see, all of these statements have one thing in common. they remove the deciding power from the child and put the child in a do it as we say mode. More like responding to commands, performing tasks, or doing exactly what the parents want them to. This removes the individuality for a child and shapes the personality from an alien point of view. They'll never aspire to think on their feet. So any child who's brought up under these circumstances, they'll never tend to take decisions on their own because they're not trained for that. Every time they do something, they have a fear. What will mom say? Or, I don't think I'll be right. I don't think I'm worthy of making a good decision. Maybe they don't say these out aloud, or maybe they don't say it intentionally, but this is how their subconscious wiring is in. So now if you actually ask me, then how can you discipline a child? Watch this. See, do you know, sometimes this can hurt you, okay? And these are the dangers that are along with it. So now tell me, why do you even want to do this? Or why do you even want to do this? Or if you really think this is the way and you wanted to do, can we also come with you so that we can do it more safely? Darling, since you're little right now, you might find it hard to handle it yourself. See, it hasn't come out good or the product broke. Now, let's do it my way. I'll tell you how to do it. Try doing it. Dear, mom can tell you what is good for you. And since you're young, others might not know what you like. So will you listen just to mom and dad and not to strangers? See, dad can help you with this because mommy hasn't done it before and she does not know. So, will you listen to dad on this? Since you might not know what would fit you, can we try something for you? If you don't like it, we can always do something else. So now if you see in these, the same things are communicated, but through different set of words and emotions. And like I said before, the first set instills fear, discomfort, and disintegration in the mind of a kid, whereas the second set creates a meaningful relationship, ensures support, ensures that they are there for them, instills very good communication, and shows love. Understand, if you analyze the impact, the first one impacts fear on the child, whereas the second one imparts love. And every other emotion is a subset of these. So if you feel sad listening to all these dialogues, imagine what the child would have felt when they listened to it. This is why in every scene of danger or when a child does something or whenever he or she is in trouble, the first thing that they say is, I am damned if my parents know about it. I should definitely not tell them. But do you know how dreaded it is to live a life where you cannot share what you're going through even with your own blood? Now, if you think or if you say you do not have moments like this, let me tell you this. It needn't be this impactful or it needn't be severe. The mildest one still matters. And after through years of this, years of these smaller patterns, when the child becomes an adult, the result starts to manifest itself. Let's say you went through fear in your childhood. You will still think so many times before doing what you want to do. You will have a lot of thoughts like, is it good for me? Will I be wrong? What will my parents say? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? Well, this is not security. I cannot do this. And every decision you make will be limited by your subconscious wiring. You will never be able to do everything you want. The limits in your life will push you to a place when everyone says this is normal. But ask yourself, is it normal for you if you're not able to do even what you want to do? Well, that's below normal according to me. And this isn't over it. Because based on your impact, you will now redefine the red flags and green flags of your relationship. And when every relationship of yours, be it a partner, a friend, a sister, or even an anonymous stranger, you will either defend because you don't want to feel the way again how you felt on your childhood. You will be passive aggressive, you will try to be dominant, you will try to show off or create that plastic cover in front of you. Or you will exhibit the same behavior, that same toxic narcissistic behavior that not many of them are aware of and think it's normal, thereby repeating the same cycle. Now, let's go to how exactly this will be if you were brought up with the language of love. You will never flinch from going behind what you love. You'll chase the aspects of your dreams, be it small dreams. You'll be satisfied with the most simple things of life. you will never flinch away from dreaming bigger. See, people with tough childhoods also follow their passion. But it's the time taken and the hesitation to overcome the challenges. But here, there isn't. Because most of the time, the child becomes an independent thinker. He's not able to tell his opinions aloud. He's not able to, if he's contradicting with something that is not an industry standard or that is not normal, he's never afraid to say that. And this creates a higher confidence and harvests as a better form of self-esteem. The child in you will never be afraid to not be yourself. And this manifests in your relationship as better communication, understanding of oneself and the other person. And in the meantime, you also develop respect for your feelings, the emotions of other, the roots in your inner patterns of someone else. Because this is what the other people did to you. They valued your feeling and now you know how to value someone else. Love manifests as abundance, confidence, higher self-esteem, and the joy and satisfaction of living. Whereas fear manifests as crippleness, hesitation, a lot of shadow self, ego, not being able to do something, laziness, and a lot many other things. Now, let's go back to the starters, okay? Now, since you know the effects and the core root cause, that this is what actually it caused, here are two things that you can do differently that will change your life and the life of people around you forever. Number one, understand why we react or how we react emotionally. What is the impending cause that has actually caused you to do or say what you just did or what you just said? Trust me, the more aware you are with respect to how you feel and why you feel that way, the better you will respond to those emotions and the better you will handle people. This creates less of a unwanted experiences with people and creates a conscious reasoning that gives the power to behave the way we mindfully want to. For example, when you get angry on someone for something that is very insignificant, you will know that it's not about them, but it's about some trigger that happened within you that made you defensive. You will know your anger is not to actually take out on the next person, but you are angry, it's your emotion. So you'll know how to feel it, how to respond to it, and then move on. You will know that yelling at someone is never the answer, right? Not even animals would like if you actually yell at them. Your loud voice is given for something else, not to shout at people or not to make them feel that way. You have both the vibrations, negative and positive. You will learn which are your negatives and you will know why that negativeness is getting triggered. Trust me, it took me 3 years to actually even understand where it came from. But if you start today, you will see the difference. Right from a few days, just because now you clearly know where to look at. You will not get angry. I mean, anger is an emotion, right? But you will not feel that unexpected rage that comes in. You won't thrash people out with your words. You won't go into physical violence. You won't hit someone. You won't raise your hands on someone. And when someone offends you, when someone literally behaves like that, you'll still know it's not about you and it's about them. You will live a fulfilled life. Or at least you will move through it. Now, number two. Take steps to define what kind of human you want to be and ask yourself if your activities align you with that. If it aligns, great. You're on your own designated path. But if not, it's not too late. You can still be conscious of your words, actions, and mindfully modify them to create a better you that you are satisfied with. I have started doing this and trust me, I'm not there yet. I would definitely be lying if I say I have done it. Because all of us are work in progress. We are humans, none of us are perfect. But we can always try to be better than who we are. And that's exactly what this will give you. It's one life. All we have is that. And the whole purpose of life is to value yourself, value your relationship, build peace, joy, and fulfillment to your soul and to those around you. So take charge. And let's never expect this change from someone else first, okay? Because majority of them fail to do, not because they don't want to, but because they aren't aware of it. Lack of awareness is the first threat to human society. But that stops now. Because you're here with an intention to be better. And I am here with an intention to share what I have learned that can make you better. Now that you know that knowing and taking action can work, start from here. Work on yourself. And once people see the best way you are being with them, step by step, day by day, they change too. And all of these changes combine together to create a ripple of healthy relationships fueled by trust, human and respect. Fueled with trust, love and respect. And trust me, every human deserves that. You included. So with that being said, signing off for now and looking forward to meet you in the next unedited version of this podcast. Signing off for now, Saranya Narayanamurthy. Have a great day.